Good morning. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness towards us, for your tender mercies towards us, for a spirit of revelation and understanding. Lord, clarity of thought here today, Lord. Open up the windows, pull the curtains back, open the door of heaven that we might see great and mighty things today, Father God. How you've established us, set us in a right place with you, Father God. We thank you that we're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are in him. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. We thank you for being in him. There's no other place like being in him. So we thank you that we've been found by you, that your word is going to open up to us, and we're going to be established in Christ Jesus, the purpose of this book, to the Roman church. In the name of Jesus, amen. Oh, more and more as I'm thinking of this, Pop really encouraged me already this morning, said, Brother Randy, I read Romans 8 again and again and again this week. Thank you, Pop. I didn't even assign any homework. I didn't even assign any homework, but yet Pop was interested. And this is what I want to be. I think for someone who's teacher motivated, for you to search the scriptures and look and see how impactful, how much this will mean to you. It will change your life. It's constantly doing that to me. That's not me barking at you, you know, but changing our lives by the word of God. He's developing my life. It's very, very important. So it's difficult to review because you find yourself reteaching the same thing again and again. So we are in Romans chapter 8. We finished that. Top of the morning to you, sir. We finished chapter 7. We began chapter 8. I didn't even promise you we could get through 8. 8 is such an important chapter. It starts off like this because Paul's coming out of 7 thinking to himself, oh, what? My inner man really wants to serve God, and my flesh is giving me these big fits and wants to do what it wants to do, but my inner man is rejoicing in what God's done on the inside of me, and this is what all of us face. This is what we deal with every day. But thanks be to God, there's a greater power within you. There's resurrection power within you, and he will cause you to live and walk in the newness of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus rather than be bound in the law of sin and death, because that's what causes problems with our conscience, the fact that we would step outside of the presence of God and do something, if you think that's even possible, to step out like God is ever present. All right, we know that. This isn't a false doctrine, but sometimes you step out of the peace of God. You step out of the joy of the Lord. What'd you do that for? This is what I want to know myself. Randy, what did you do that for? You're not joyful anymore. Why aren't you joyful anymore? Oh, well then deal with it. Because of this, because they aggravated me. And what came out of me wasn't a good thing. And this is what Paul is talking about, this dichotomy of a human being. And this is what I want to say. So we went to a partay. We went to a partay on Sunday afternoon. And I got to fellowshipping. There were some what I call strangers there. They weren't so strangers. I just didn't meet them before. But this family was there, and for some reason, who knows, right? You know me better than that. For some reason, the book of Romans came out, and he said, oh my God, we just finished Romans today. We've been in Romans for over a year. Well, I'm not spending a year on Romans, but I'm just trying to say, as an example, it gave me a perspective and an understanding. So like, what are you trying to do, teach Romans? You will be in here a long time because Paul was writing the book of Romans to establish the church in Rome, as he has already done on 3 missionary journeys before he writes this book. This book, it gives us clues as to when he wrote it. There's clues in the book, especially in chapter 15 and in the book of Acts. We already talked about that in the introduction to Rome. So what are we trying to do with this is uncover what is it that establishes us. So we uncovered things like the gospel of God. It's the power of God for salvation. This is the things we uncovered. Although you could write books on that, and there is books written on that. The gospel is, this is what Paul has preached everywhere. So I'm just trying to keep us focused on the fact, let's keep moving through Romans. If you look at me and you have a revelation, maybe I will say something that will stir up the Spirit of God in you. You know, Spirit of God's in you too. You have received an anointing from the Holy One. That's what John tells us. So do you have an anointing or don't you? Well, of course you do. And he's teaching you. The Spirit of God connects with that anointing and that Spirit within you. And he's opening up the windows of heaven and he's showing you things. Now you might say, well, Brother Randy, I see this and this. Would you pass right over it? Probably I didn't. But nevertheless, that's the details. That's what God is going to show you and God is speaking to you. He's revealing things to you as we go through this. So here he goes. Therefore, chapter 8. Therefore, this is a little bit of review. Now, no condemnation. That's going to be sort of a key word here. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's going to establish you. You're going, if you believe that, if I can get you to believe that, I know you do believe it. If I can get you to believe that, because you might say now, well, why? Why isn't there any condemnation? Again, he's going to keep unfolding this as he moves forward. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What connects you to sin and death? It's the law. So if you die to it, it's like you're married to it. Now, you know, most of you know, Evan doesn't know. And you don't know, young man. You don't know what it's like to be married. And that's okay. Just chill. Just sit back and wait. There will be a time in your life when you find out what it's like to be married. But when you're connected with somebody, when you're married to somebody, you find out how strong. Now, I say this in the best way possible. You find out how strong that chain is. It's as strong as you want it to be. If you don't want that chain to be very strong, you're not tied to it all that tightly. But I encourage you, it's chains that bind you. I'm bound to my wife. I want to be. I don't not want to be. No, I'm not tempted. Because I love her, and she loves me, and I know that. So I'm just saying, what chains you? So the law connected to the flesh is a chain that is not broken very easily. Well, how do we break it? How does this chain break? Well, when one of us dies. As sad as that might sound, that's what Paul's trying to impart to us. If your flesh dies, the law doesn't have power over you anymore. If I die, this covenant and law of marriage between my wife and I is over, and she's free from me. But let me not think about that too much, because I don't know whether that's a good thought or not. But anyway, that's all in good jest, but that's the fact of the matter, is it not? So she's laughing at me. Oh dear Lord. That's all my daughters. Oh dear Lord. Watch this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is what works on our conscience. For what the law could not do, weak as it was, what? The law weak? No, the law is not weak. The flesh is weak, and it wants what it wants. But you know what? You can't have what you want. You will be kind to that neighbor. That's what the Spirit of grace says to you. You will be strong. And this is just review. For what the law could not do, weak is through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now, if you want, like, homework, if you enjoy connecting dots, see, God did. That can be a message. Shane would come up and preach, And he would say, here's my message today. God did. Because I couldn't do it, right, Shane? No, I'm just stirring some seeds. I'm sprinkling some seeds in his mind. God did it. I can't accomplish salvation on my own. If you want homework, because we're not going to go into this because, see, this is deep diving. This is deep diving into things. And that's not my point of going through Romans. It's finding out from Romans the things that establish us and just bringing them to the surface. And there will be many more said than what I say. But if you want a deep dive, Isaiah 62, go ahead, read the chapter and tell me how it connects to Romans. And if you want another one, Isaiah 52, go ahead and read it and see how it connects to Romans, because it does. Let's move on. Again, a deep dive. He sent his own son, see, God did this, in the likeness of sinful flesh. Well, he looked like sinful flesh. They called him a blasphemer. He hangs around with drunkards and sinners. He can't be the Son of God. He looked like a normal person, but he was far from that. Behold, John looked at him. That's not what he saw. Behold the Lamb of God. Thank you, Sister Janet. Behold the Lamb who comes to take away the sins of the world, because it was going to be through his body. It's going to be through his blood that we even attain this life. This is where this gospel comes from. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering. He was the offering. He was the lamb that was described all through Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. He was the Lamb of God, right? This is what establishes us. Paul didn't even get it, deep dive into it himself. He passed right over that insight. He had it, but that wasn't relevant to establishing them. Not that aspect of it. He condemned sin and flesh so the requirements of the law might be filled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, because that is the key. This is the key to you stepping into this great life that you have. And you do have it now here in this life, on this earth. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill any of the lusts of the flesh. This is what we strive for every day. And these are the things we press into. For those who set, verse 5, according to the flesh, who set their mind according to the flesh, of things of the flesh. Let me read it again. Don't get confused, Randy. For those who are according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. What do I think about? Paul's later going to tell another church, set your mind on things above and not on things beneath. Isn't that what he's going to say? Where does the seed of that thought come from? It's this kind of thing. The process of Paul's heart and his spirit and his capacity in his mind to understand, what is God doing? Ask God sometime, Lord, what are you doing in me? Lord, what are you doing in me? Let's just go down to Honest Town and say, Lord, what are you doing in me? You're changing me. This is what we have to be honest about, right? God, are you changing me? If he's not, go ahead and stay in Honest Town for a moment. Say, Lord, what do I have to do to change that? That you're doing that, that you're doing more in me. More in me that I might be able to do more in you. Because how can you operate in those spiritual things if you're not allowing that seed to grow? A farmer takes his combine into the field. Did you look at the fields lately as the corn is growing, springing up? This is your county, right? We know the little things are coming out of the ground that you have. Let me know if you see a farmer out there with a combine running through his fields with a combine, because he knows it's not time for that to bear fruit. But see, in your life, if you hang with God and you stay planted and rooted, the fruit will bear. You have to wait. Here in your county, you have to wait 91 days. Read the back of the corn package and that's what you'll see. I read the project. Never mind, it's an old joke. I read the back of the package. I looked at the package. It says in 91 days it'll bear fruit. I don't know how long it's going to take to bear fruit in your life, but I do know what Brother Shane said a couple weeks ago. You got to grow where you're planted. Did I say that right? You got to grow where you're planted. God will plant you in the place and he'll bring you what you need. The seed will come forth from the pulpit or from fellowship. It's not the only place that you learn anything. Sometimes you'll be in a prayer meeting. At some point, you'll be talking about something. All of a sudden, It'll hit you. A revelation of something will just hit you. Pop just hit me with something this morning. It may come up. He said, I was reading this over and over. Randy, do you know how many times, according to, is that what you said, Brother Pop? According to, how many times in the book of Romans? Eight?
Six times,
according to. Because what we have is according to something God did. Remember, God did. We couldn't. God did. 6 times it's going to be here. We'll trip over it as we move forward here. It says, for the mind set on the flesh is death. Guarantee. If that's where you live, if that's where your motive of operation is, when you wake up in the morning, if you wake up in the flesh, and you don't wake up thanking God. This is why we want to try to do that. We want to try to wake up thanking God. Lord, how can you use me today? I'm going to yield myself to you today. This is Honestville, okay? This is where we have to live. If we set our mind on the flesh, we'll wake up in turmoil. Pastor Bill used to say that all the time. In his family, when he was raising his boys, when he's with his wife, he said, we never went to bed. We never went to bed unless we went to bed in peace, because I want to wake up in peace. Well, he had a reason for that. This is what we have to live in peace. He had a reason for that. The mind set on flesh is death, but set on the spirit is life and peace. He wanted his mind set on life and peace. So he meditated on the things of God. So I'm trying to meditate on the things of God, and I'm sure you are as well. God wants to use you. He wants to build you up. He wants you to continue to grow in this area, in that area. Because the mind set on the flesh, it's hostile. Oh, that's kind of a strong word. Very hostile. If I let myself do whatever it wants to do, then I'm going to be hostile. I'm going to be a hostile to God. I don't want to be that. I want to be a friend of God. I want him to be a friend to me. And he is. He loves me. He wants to lead me on. It's not subject to the law, God. It's not able to do so. And again, I'm reviewing. I'm really trying to get. We abruptly ended in verse 21, 22 last week. It was sudden because we're about ready to take another step into something that is really kind of interesting. So just hang tight. Verse 14. All those who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He's establishing you. When he says that, sons of God, he's going to continue to develop that thought. I have to convince you, daughter of God. I have to convince you you're a daughter of God, that your husband is a son of God. I have to convince you of this. You have to understand what your lineage is. How important is that for your identity and connection with this establishes you? Again, the book of Romans. I'm only trying to focus on what establishes you. I know there's a mountain of secrets in here you can explore. Forgive me for not uncovering every, rolling over every rock, uncovering every leaf. You may have even more revelation in many of these areas than I do, trying to get through the book of Romans this way. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. This is how we come in, and he sets us free. Now, we don't step out and walk in bondage now. We walk in freedom in the life of Christ. But you've received a spirit of adoptions. There's another word for you. He's going to develop this thought of adoption. You know, the Jewish people group, the Jews have received the law. They receive all the great and precious promises that all belong to them. They were the children of God. So how do I fit in this? Oh, he's going to develop that thought as he moves forward in his letter. I adopted you. I loved you. And I adopted you. Again, spoiler alert, I'm going to graft you into the natural olive branch. He's already planting a seed as he moves forward to get them to understand where is their place in Christ. But I'm a little early for that. It's coming up as we move forward. We cry Abba, Father, as I said last week, a very sacred name. Abba, 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 Father. The Spirit of himself testifies. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit we're children of God. If children, then heirs. Again, a thought he's going to develop as he continues in Romans. Why am I a child of God? I'm not a Jew. He wants to develop that thought. He wants you to think you are. He wants you to believe you are. I'm a child of God. And I think if I ask any of you, you're going to say the same thing. You're going to know that you're a child of God. You better know that you're a child of God. He's your father. He's your Abba Father. That's who he is. He cares about you. I dare to say, if you're any qualified parent whatsoever, if you've had children, whether you think it turned out well or not well, your children know they can depend on you as a parent. You're a father to them. You're a mother to them. They know their connection. We have to know that ourselves. Is there a connection? We're also, it says here, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Fellow heirs with Christ. He looks at Christ. He calls him his son. He looks at you. He calls you his son, his daughter. This is how God sees it. Do we want to see it like God sees it, or do we think there's something different? Like God has some prejudice towards one or another, and he doesn't, you know. I consider the sufferings of this time not to be worthy of the compared with the glory that is to be revealed. Once again, as I was sharing with Pop earlier, these are spiritual thoughts that are going to develop now here in Romans that we're going to see in other books, because it's the same person and from the same spirit it was written. You're going to find this in Corinthians. He says this is the root and the seed of the spiritual thought here that goes here into Corinthians. This is where it came from. It's not like, oh, Paul has a new thought. This is a constant growing in the apostle's mind, in his spirit man, where he takes spiritual thoughts and he combines it together with spiritual words as he's moving forward. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption. We are created peoples, a people group. God created man. We, again, deep diving, going all the way back to Genesis, seeing how man, we are created in the image and the likeness of God. We are in bondage. We were in futility. Humanity, there was weakness in them. God gave them a choice. They made the wrong choice. Again, we could develop this. This could be a teaching. This could be something that you would spend weeks and months on understanding creation and the fall. But what we're focusing on is the resurrection of that. God wants creation returned to back where it was. Everything that is earthly and natural will go away. This will go away. Today or tomorrow or the next day, this will go away, and you too. I'm not afraid of that. Pastor Bill wasn't afraid of that. He knew that while he was alive and while he was yet in the flesh, he was going to do everything in that he could do in his spirit to fulfill the will of God and the calling in his life every day. That's what he was saying. That's what I know about the man. That's what I come to love about the man. He wasn't going to be diverted this way or that way, but there's an end to everything. If you read Lamentations, it talks about that. Cycles of humanity, cycles of, God compares these thoughts all the time. Look at the grass, how it grows, and it's here today and gone tomorrow. This is what we are. This is our timeline. Our window of life is a drop in the bucket. So what am I going to do with it? It's just sobering to think about that, isn't it? I mean, have you noticed the years flying by?
Yes, sir.
I'm not the only one. I know I could ask Brother Steve and he would say to Pop the same thing. Pop's going to be 100 soon. A couple years. He's chasing it. He's chasing after it. But God's still going to use him while he's breathing to bring the glory of God to people. They're going to see it in his life. And thank God for you, brother. Thank God for you. Keep on preaching the word. Keep on encouraging people. This is what we have to do. Where else am I going to go? Who else has the words of life? What else should I do? Go sit on my recliner, kick back, watch television all day? What am I going to do with my life? Fruitfulness in my life all the day long. I know we have jobs. We give our a time and attention to it. Maybe we think that job is money, but maybe God puts you there to be a witness. And that's way above that money. That's going to, dividends that come from that are going to be way more than your paycheck. The dividends for the kingdom of God, for you being in the place you are way more than the paycheck that you get. I've known that for a long time. That's why I didn't leave my job so early. I've worked there 47 years. 47 years, and it's like, Lord, I have all this. Whatever I have, I don't know what I have, but it's like a lion in me, and it wants to come out. Can I just leave? Nope. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't want to jump ahead. And I did whatever I knew could do. My conscience would allow me to stay in authority, stay in fellowship, continue to read the word, continue to pray. I'll tell you when I'm going to put you in my arrow. Right now you're in the quiver. I'll tell you when I'm going to put, and for such a time as this, and here for a moment, here for a little session, this is where we're at. And any one of us can be put in the right place in the right time. And when you're the man, when you're the woman that's been put in front of that situation, you're going to bring the glory of God. You're going to bring the resurrection. You're going to bring the healing. You're going to bring the prophetic word. You're going to bring, God wants to use us all. Right now, I'm just preaching a little bit out of Romans. I'm trying to anyway. Verse 22, 4, we know that the whole creation groans and suffers pain in childbirth until now. Paul uses childbirth oftentimes in his light and insight and revelation to bring the, like prophetic words. They're seeds that go out and they begin to grow. The seed begins to be watered. It begins to grow. There's prophetic words that have gone out to many of you. Where is that? Are you watering it? Are you paying attention to it? Paul told Timothy to pay attention to the prophetic word, didn't he, brother? Pay attention to the prophetic word that has been given to you. Nurture it. Keep nurturing it, because it's going to explode one day and it's going to bear fruit one day. For we know that the creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together. Sometimes you think, will it ever happen? This is what Abraham did. Paul uses this example. And he will continue to use this example as we go through Romans with Abraham, with Isaac, with Rebecca. This is coming up in Romans. So this seed of thought that's in his mind, he's not going anywhere with it. He is absolutely going somewhere with it. Very positively going somewhere with it. He's establishing this church. For we know that the creation groans and suffers pain, childbirth, until now. And not only this, but we also ourselves, the first fruits of the Spirit. This is not the only place you see this reference to these kinds of things. Homework again, if you're taking notes. 1 Corinthians 15. Exactly the whole of 15th chapter can be a commentary on what he's seeing here, if you look at it rightly. And the way I'm saying, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Randy? Well, there's a natural world. And there's a spiritual world. There's a natural world and a spiritual world. The things of the natural are all going to go away. And they're all going to be replaced with a spiritual world that is going to dominate. 1 Corinthians 15. He's going to talk about it. They're curious about these things. So, as homework, if you're interested, especially verse 20 through 49 in chapter 15, if you're curious of where these seeds, Romans, carry him, because they're written very close to the same time. In 1 Corinthians, he speaks about the foul, the evil beast that he fought in Ephesus. Well, if he didn't fight evil beasts in Ephesus, why would he write about it? So he did write about it, but when did he do that? It had to be after Ephesus. He wrote 1 Corinthians after he experienced his third missionary journey. So that pretty much, not all together, specifically dates it. And also at that same time, it was after Ephesus, he says, I'm going to go to Rome. I'm on my way to Spain. I'm going to stop by Rome and I'm going to visit with them and they're going to contribute. They're going to contribute to my trip. And this trip is going to bless me and I'm going to take it and I'm going to go to Spain. This is what he says in Acts. He tells you about this. This is when he's writing the book of Romans. It says here, having the first fruits, I'm in verse 23, of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves. Before I pursue, yes, I read the faith books too. We're just here in Romans right now, and we're just trying to understand exactly because they didn't read the faith books that we read. And we love them, okay? Keep reading them. They will keep sowing good things into your spirit. I'm not an anti-book person, just a pro-context person, if you don't mind. That's not aggravation between the two, but keeping things in context will give us a better perspective of why he wrote it. This groanings, this suffering and pains. I know and I understand intercessions, groanings, too deep for words. Here is what he's going to say. How important is it to have an established church? How important is it that the Holy Spirit is living within you? That the Holy Spirit is moving among you? How important is it? Well, of course, you're going to say extremely important. Even we groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption of sons. Adoption is used again here. The redemption of our bodies. Because see, this flesh just wants to do, oh man, I want it redeemed. It wants to do what it wants to do and is constantly being attacked by the viral world. And in the name of Jesus, it's not allowed to do that. Because what virus are they going to put on you, Janet? You're dead. Virus on a dead person. Does that make any sense? Because our faith is he raises us up. By his stripes we're healed. We always stand in these faith things. These faith things are so important to us. Have to be. By his stripes you're healed. You are healed. You are healed. That's, I have to stand in that just like you have to stand in this. Deb said to me the other day, she said, this battle is trying to win, but it's not going to win because I rebuked it. I love that. I rebuked it. You know, congestion, coughing, sore throat. So our flesh lives in the viral world, so it wants to come and attach itself to us. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. And we have to stand in the knowledge, in the faith that we have, the knowledge that by his stripes we're healed, and many other scriptures. And I'll constantly, this is a faith church, a word church, we're going to continue to say those things. Even if it doesn't look like that way with our eyes, because it doesn't get that way unless it comes out of our mouth. And we continue to proclaim it, and we continue to give thanks for it, and we continue to give glory to God for it. This is how you're going to walk in it. You're going to live in it. You're going to rise up, and you will not be defeated. Waiting eagerly for adoption, the redemption of our body. For in hope, we've been saved. Interesting scripture. Not going to talk too much on it, but here's an interesting passage. We hope for what is not seen, for who hope what he already sees? If I stand before you in good health, which I'm proclaiming I am, and I proclaim my good health, I hope I'm going to, if I'm walking in good health, why would I hope for it? If I'm walking in salvation, why would I hope for it? This is what he's trying to explain. Your faith. In faith you stand. That may not have been as good of an understanding and a clarity that you have, but I'm just trying to do the best I can here. For we hope for what we are. How do we hope for what we already see? But if we hope for what we do not see, well, see if you don't catch on the fact that Paul talks about this. He's already talked about it in chapter 5, by the way. Perseverance, we wait for it. Oh, I hope Jesus comes back again. Well, thank God. I want you to keep hoping that he's going to come back again. He will come back again. He will come back again. He will gather up us all together, and he will bring his saints with him. This is what we know. I'm not speaking eschatology here. I'm saying here with perseverance, we eagerly wait for this. He will talk about this in 1 Corinthians as well. An earnest expectation of a coming of Jesus Christ. In the same way, this is where we get into the spiritual aspect of this. In the same way, in the same hope, in the same perseverance, in the same standing in Christ. The Spirit also helps our weakness. Well, when he uses this word weakness, what is he referring to? What has he always referred to when it comes to weakness? Your flesh, your spirit also helps with our weaknesses. When you think, oh, Lord, help me in my unbelief. This is what the man said when Jesus came down off the mountain with the apostles, with his disciples. Here's this man flopping around on the ground. His son was flopping around on the ground. This is this miracle of this demonic and this heat, the exorcism of this demonic spirit that's been troubling this young man and his healing. Oh, Lord, I'm not doing the story justice or the incident or the event, the justice it deserves, but, oh, Lord, help me in my weakness. I mean, is there sometimes we step into trouble? We didn't ask to step into that. We didn't know. We're blindsided. Something comes up. You go out and you start your car and it won't go in gear. What are you going to do? Yell at the car? I don't know. What do we do? Curse the car? I won't tell you how I come up with these thoughts. Anyway, it was a struggle this morning to get here, let me tell you. So I don't know what's going on, but I'm not going to curse the car. I'm going to thank God. And it's going to pop into gear, and I'm going to be on my merry way. And I'm coming here. You don't know anything I'm talking about, do you, brother? He's smiling at me like, I had those moments. You're blindsided. But our spirit helps us in our weakest because our mind isn't that strong, you know. But by the power of Jesus Christ and having the mind of Christ, you'll overcome. Because a lot of this is about my victory. This is my victory. I'm going to overcome this obstacle. Lord, you're going to have a solution. It popping in gear might not be the end solution. Maybe the Lord wants to give me a new BMW. I don't know. I'm just thinking. Paul's agree with me. If I get someone to agree with me. But anyway, nevertheless, I know it's funny. But nevertheless, God has a better plan. He knows far beyond what I'm thinking or knowing. He's going to help me in my weakness. He's not going to let, if you keep your mind stayed on him, he's going to keep you in perfect peace. I don't want to be in turmoil and trouble when I pull into the parking lot. I don't want you to come into the parking lot in turmoil and trouble. Will it affect your praise? Will it affect your ability to hear the word of God? Absolutely it will. So we come in perfect peace. The mind of Christ, he helps us in our weakness. If we don't know how to pray as we ought, and this is a matter of fact, how do I pray about this? But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep with words. And he who searches the heart. Who is that? The Spirit of God searches the hearts. He's searching my heart now. He's searching your heart now. Spirit of God is searching your heart right now. I don't know. I'm not in any judgment. I don't think about anybody or anything. There's no images of me in my mind, but God is searching my confidences in that. He's going to come visit you right where you're at in your trial, in your tribulation, and to be honest with you, let's not keep it negative, in your praise. He's searching your heart, in your faith, in your believing, in your peace, in your joy. He's searching your heart. He's measuring. What have I put in this? He's measuring that. And he's going to lift it up. You're going to see, the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. According to the will of God. According to. This is what Pop was referring to. According to. 6 times in this chapter, as he enlightened me with. 6 times. According to the will of God. See, I know this might sound selfish, but it's not. It might sound egotistical, but it's not. He's only interested in what brings about his will. It's like you as a parent. What his will is what is important, not mine. Jesus prayed what he prayed in the garden. What did he pray in the garden? In the first instance, when he first bowed before the Lord, he said, Lord, was he really convinced at that moment of time, the first incident? You go and look at it yourself. It wasn't like he didn't know what to do. Jesus, he didn't know what's coming. He was just fresh off the mountain. His mountain experience, when he came off the mountain, where did he go after his mountain experience? He was on his way to Jerusalem. This wasn't something that happened years ago, and all of a sudden, the next event, you find yourself in Jerusalem. Look at it yourself. Historically, where was this? In every instance where this mountain experience, where he was up there with his 3 disciples, Peter, James, and John, it's another subject matter. And Elijah and Moses appeared to him, and you can get a lot out of it, and I did mention it earlier in Romans. When he came down off the mountain, he met the man with the demonic son, and he was on his way to Jerusalem. So something up there had something to do with this. The clarity of it is not really that much. You might have to assume some things, and you'll hear it from me. You might be okay to assume some things, that he was talking to him about his sacrifice, him sacrificing himself as the Lamb of God. Elijah and Moses, what were the similarities between Jesus' life and ministry and Elijah and Moses? What were the similarities? Maybe you want to start looking there. Well, when Moses was alive, wasn't he having problems with his leaderships? Wasn't he having rejections and questions and people who wouldn't stay in faith and walk with him and different things like that? And Elijah the same way, when he was trying to show them the ways of God and the power of God, weren't these things happening? Well, of course they were. And so the same thing with Jesus, encouraging him. You're doing this. This is time. God said it's time. Elijah and Moses, whatever he said to him, you can read it yourself. I'm not inserting new thoughts into these scriptures because we don't really know. No one ever said to us, and there's nothing in scripture that's written that says to us, oh, Elijah said this, and then Moses said this, and then Jesus said this, and then the Father said this. This is what we do know. Let's run with what we do know. Oh, Lord, should we make a tabernacle for you and Moses and Elijah? And the Lord's voice came through the cloud, and he said, this is my son. Hear him. Listen to what he says. This is what we're doing. We're hearing the Lord. So let me try to finish this. Can I even finish this really quick? Oh, my gosh. We know that God. Oh, this is such a wonderful scripture. Let's not forget this. Ralph's look at me like, I know where you're going, Randy. Because this next verse depends on the ones before it. This is how important it is. It's not a thought plucked out of the air. Paul's trying to establish them in this present truth. The Spirit intercedes because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That's how important it is. And then he says, and we know. We're sure. We're positive. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This is what we know, because we're established in him, because it's according to his will. Did my best to get through chapter 8. I'm not promising you I'm going to spend the rest of the year on chapter 8, because it's so loaded with spiritual truth and revelation and insight. Father, we thank you that you do all things according to your will, and that you're here to help us, and your spirit is interceding for us, and your word has gone forth, O Lord God, and we seek after that word, and that word goes to the inside of us, O Lord, and we thank you that it is put in us like a seed, and that seed will bear fruit, and it will grow, and it will increase, and it will be a time for harvest. And Lord, as you've planted in us, we will plant in others. We encourage one another with these words. These are the words that you spoke. These are the words that encouraged us. And we speak these words of faith to others, that they might have faith that you're the living God who brings the power of God for salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen.